אנחנו קוראים בתלמוד 10 הספירות.
We are reading from the study of the 10 Sefirot, volume 1, part 4, or הסתכלות פנימית, in a reflection, page 268 in Hebrew. You can send us your questions to Kabda TV. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. The study of the 10 Sefirot, volume 1, part 4, in a reflection, page 268 in Hebrew, chapter 4, item 61. After the Tzimtzum, after the restriction, Bechina Dalet is incorporated in the Masach and the ascending Or Chozer, and through the both of them becomes a vessel of reception, item 61. Despite all the distant separation in Bechina Dalet from the Or Elyon, the upper light, there is no other vessel of reception but her, though she needs the correction of a Masach. As she received prior to the Tzimtzum, according to the measure of the Hamshacha, extension, to the same extent, she now receives according to the measure of the rejection. Meaning, she receives according to the measure of the Or she could have received, had she not been limited in the Tzimtzum and the Masach. Item 62. The Histalkut, the departure of the Or from Bechina Dalet, was the reason for the emerging of the Masach. It has already been explained in part 2 that Malchut de Igulim, circles over which there was a Tzimtzum, is the Shosh, the root, and the reason for Malchut de Yosher, lines, and the Masach in her. It is so because after the Or from Malchut de Igulim departed from all four Bechinot in her, she returned to extend the Or to the three Bechinot in her, over which there was no Tzimtzum. This Ratzon, this desire, is the meaning of the correction of the Masach so that the Or would not expand to Bechina Dalet in her, but only to Bechina Gimel and not more. This came to her because of the Histalkut, the departure of the Or from all four Bechinot in her, and her remaining completely empty of Or. Thus, you find that the Histalkut of the Or, the departure of the Or, was the reason for the creation of the Masach.
Shilot.
Questions?
Ken.
What does it mean that in the first three Bechinot the light entered and in the fourth did not?
The first three aren't vessels of reception. In them, the force of bestowal exists in all kinds of its own ways, and only Bechinat Dalet is the vessel of reception. The will to receive that feels at once, that it draws, that it receives and enjoys. That's why only in Bechinat Dalet we have a result of the expansion of the light within the Kli. It is similar that when you feel a cup, even though the sides of the cup is what holds, let's say, the milk, but the side of the Kli, it determines that you can fill it. That's why the Bechinat Dalet, which are the sides of the Kli, she receives, she decides, and according to her decisions, she fills the previous discernments. If there won't be a bottom, we won't have any work, any fulfilling in the first three discernments. Yep.
He repeats it two, three times. He says, after the light departure from Malchut of circles in all four Bechinot in her, and then he says it again, that it came to her because of the departure of the light from all three Bechinot in her. Why does the light departure?
It departed because the desire departed. The light is a result of the desire. There's no motion in the light, none. Meaning, the light is always in complete rest. What does that mean? That sometimes we say the light is in complete rest, it always has one direction, to bestow, to do good. Sometimes we say, and this is also right, that the light is motionless. Never. It never moves. But wherever you have a desire that is suitable in revealing the light, it can reveal it. And wherever the desire can't or doesn't want to discover the light, it won't discover him, so supposedly it doesn't exist. There was some light revealed in a certain desire, then the desire changed, because the desires change constantly, and then the light, and according to that, is not felt. It departed. Compared to that same kli, it's called that it departed, but it fills everything, and it's in everything, without any motion on its own.
I don't understand. What does it mean the desire keeps changing?
What isn't clear now is...
You said that the desire keeps changing, and this is why the light departure...
It changes. It changes. That's it. I am now in a state that I feel bad. In a moment, I reach a state that I feel good. My desires change, and in according to that, I feel that I'm filled in different feelings. You get that? Okay? No questions? Yeah.
The departure of the light was the reason for the emerging of the Masach. So what is the connection between the departure of the light and...
Until the light doesn't depart from the Kli feels that it's in an action, that it has something to work with or something filling it. It doesn't feel a deficiency. That's why it can't be. And coming out of the Masach. Oh, okay, keep going.
Item 63. Chena Daled is Tolada, result, outcome of the Itpashtut, expansion of the Or Elyon, upper light. Thus, the Itpashtut and the Istalkut, the expansion and departure, caused the making of the Kli together, from which Bechena Daled and the Masach emerged. For herself, Bechena Daled is Tolada, an outcome of the Itpashtut, expansion of Or, as she is Bechena Daled Or Yashar, which is the meaning of Malchut, the Ein Sof. However, the Or left her afterwards because of the above Tzimtzum. And thus, Bechena Daled is in fact a Tolada, an outcome of the Itpashtut, the expansion of the Or, and the Masach is a Tolada of the Histalkut, departure of the Or. It is explained in item 61 that from the Tzimtzum onward, they are both, meaning Bechinat Dalet and the Masach, restricted, joined into Bechinat vessel of reception. Beside them, there are no vessels of reception in the Olamot. Therefore, you see how right the words of the Ari are, where he said that the Hitpashtut of the Or, the expansion of the Or, and its later departure are the reasons for the making of the Kli. It is so because Bechinat Dalet herself extends from the Hitpashtut Or, meaning the Bechinat Aviut in her, and from the Histalkut Or extends the Bechinat correct Masach in her, without which she is unfit for reception whatsoever.
And afterwards, after many entrances and exits of the light in the vessel, the Kli keeps changing, becomes more complex and more destined to discern between all of the discernments between the vessel and the light. And then it reaches a state that it can even feel and understand the Creator. Questions?
The expansion of the light and its departure, this is something that happens once, or is it?
1,000 times in every case, infinite times in an infinite frequency. Because that's where the vessels come from. The entrance, exit. There's an impression from the light and comes out. A different light comes out. And it all comes from the light and from the vessel. from that mutual work between them. What do they want by this? They want that the entrance and exit will get to such an extent and such contacts, starts and stops, that they'll understand the connection between them, that the light will receive the correct clothing, that the light can know it, and in the Kli there'll be enough numbers of changes that it can discern the light and all those little nuances. How can I say it? Yeah. Styles, discernments that there are in the light. Only entrance and exit. Endless frequency. Such forms that in all the modern computers we don't have. It's all junk compared to what happens in spirituality. But the principles are the same. It's the same, actually.
Why the departure of the light begets a masach?
Because by being separated from the light, by the restriction, by the decision that it wants to determine how the light will enter and he will receive it in order to bestow, like the host. So the departure of the light is an essential action before the Zivug Daka.
So what does the expansion do?
The first expansion doesn't happen from the Kli itself. That's the light does it in him, in order to invite a response from it. Before that, there is no response from the vessel. That's why it's called four phases of direct light, that they come from the light.
So what happens all of a sudden in the Kli that the light departs?
The desire. The desire gathers up, compresses, and disappears. That's why the light disappears. Because the light only appears in a desire.
There is no desire for light.
Right. To receive the light as it was from above downward, when the host pushes it in, he doesn't want to be a receiver.
So if there is no desire for all, why all of a sudden something higher comes, a masach? Where does it come from?
Specifically, that the desire to receive decided it doesn't want to be a receiver, to receive the light as the emanator determined he should do or dictated he should do. From that, he has the force to dictate the reception of the light the way he wants. That I reject it, I don't want it in such a way. Now I do a different action with the light by the Zivug Daka. Yeah.
Oleg from Moscow is asking, what is the nature of the Masach if it awakens with the departure of the light?
The Masach, its quality is according to the desire, according to the coarseness, depth, height, intensity, style of the desire, and according to that is the Masach. The Masach implements, realizes the desire in an opposite way of what the desire is destined, but that opposite way depends on many discernments in the desire. More? Okay.
Toronto. Rav, the Masach is erected by the stage 4 Malchut. And with this Masach, it controls what it wants to receive or not. So what, and when it doesn't want to receive something, it just ejects the light, but it could still see the light in front of it. But what is this extra step where it completely forgets the light, the previous state. It seems like it's not its own decision. So is there something that comes from above that makes it forget the previous states?
The masach is a decision that from now on I want to determine the order of my attitude between the Creator, the Light, and myself. The masach is a result of the restriction. Now, after the restriction, the tzimtzum, I decide what's going to happen. So first, I'm not receiving anything. Why? Because I don't want to be different from the emanator, at least towards reception and bestowal. Now, I want to try and adapt myself to resemble the emanator in the matter of bestowal, because in reception he has nothing. So to bestow, I join that masach, which is the tzimtzum. It's like a separator that doesn't give me a connection with the emanator. So as much as I can resemble the emanator to be bestowing like him. Let's say he bestows 100% and I bestow 20%. So I open my will to receive and receive in order to bestow. Meaning the masach is always there and there's always work to resemble the emanator as much as possible. That's it. Inside, obviously, there's many calculations and comparisons and it's calculations. That I weigh myself, I weigh the Creator, I weigh His attitude towards me, or that is called light, or my attitude towards Him, which is called Ol Chozer, and to were equivalent, and one can clothe in the other. But my Ol becomes the vessel. It determines as much as I allow the Creator to be revealed. More than that, no. Because I put a condition, only equivalence of form. That's it. Yep. That's it. No more. Keep going. What? Yes, Chaim.
How can a person determine how much he gave, how much he lets the Creator be revealed, and how much he doesn't?
From the previous state, he has the entrance of the Neran Chai into the Kli, the departure of the lights by the Tzimtzum, the Rishimot that remained, and then he decides. His decision is very simple. Just not in order to receive. How much can I do it in order to bestow? Resemble the Creator in simple, opened way. That's why the light that enters is only the light of Nefesh. That's it. That light of Ein Sof that is revealed is only the light of Nefesh.
So what is the decision then that causes the revelation of the Creator only to the extent that one can bestow?
Don't understand. Also, now I'm bestowing. Every action to resemble a Creator is called to bestow.
Yeah, but you said just not to receive.
Right, because by that, obviously, I'm not giving any contentment.
Okay, so how can I let Him be revealed only to the extent that I do not receive? Up to the point where I do not receive.
Or is it a calculation of the tabu and the potsuf?
Yes, and how do you do that?
That's according to the calculation in the Rosh. As much as I can clothe in my reflected light, direct light. That is what I now am establishing as my Rosh, that first there wasn't such a thing in reality, and altogether there is no Rosh. What is a Rosh? The created being starts calculating. He has a desire, okay? But for him, with that desire to start working with the Rosh, meaning he made a restriction, and now he wants to make calculations like the Creator. So he takes the calculation from the Creator to bestow with his forces to receive, and then he starts building a system called Rosh that actually, on one hand, that system works according to his forces. On the other hand, it works according to the software of the Creator. That's why the Rosh doesn't belong to the created being, supposedly. It's the part of the Creator within him, where he thinks how to bestow, he thinks how to enjoy, but when he makes that calculation, how to bestow and how to enjoy, he takes his qualities from his guf. That's why in the Rosh we have all kinds of doubts and all kinds of things we don't understand. Moch satum, a bit of revelation, the bina that returns to be chokhmah, all those things. It is all in order to use the relations between the Creator and creation through the matter of the created being, as much as he can resemble himself to make a new machine out of himself. It's wondrous that it's even possible, but it is, because it's in the Rosh. The Rosh is an invention, very special invention, because the Guf is a result of the Rosh. Meaning as much as the desires and thoughts of the created being can resemble the thoughts and the desires of the Creator. And to give the created being knowledge how from his matter, from his desire, he can do actions like the Creator. We learn a lot about the Guf, but obviously all actions are in the Rosh. That's where the connection between the created being and the Creator is. And that's where it's interesting how the thought of creation, the qualities of the Creator, if you can say that about his qualities, they start being understood to the created being, not only his actions, but how the created being makes a own resemblance of them. There's a lot of things there that we don't learn them. The Zohar tells us about it a bit. But it's all for us to attain, and in the end we will. Keep going. Yes, Chaim.
To continue Chaim's question, to deepen this scrutiny. What precedes what? The desire to the thought, or the thought to the desire? Or does it come together?
The thought is always born from the desire.
When we're saying that we receive from a new heart,
if we're not speaking about the beginning of creation, but on what already happens in the created being, it can't be that we'll have a thought about anything that we don't want. Not to the positive, or not one to the negative.
And when a person receives a new heart and a new mind, what is it? What is new here?
The desire remains the same desire. Only the style it's used is changed. That is it. That new mind is that new plan that is all to do good to his created beings. It has a new purpose, which is called the created being outside of me. And then the whole program is turned around to his benefit. That's a new mind. And the new heart is that he performs those actions.
Meaning, when a person gets a new heart,
it's a result of the light that reforms.
That's certain. But let's say the friends here have a certain feeling, a new feeling from the upper force right now. Is that what I have? People already have such desires?
Yes.
Why do you need a masach for if there is a rosh?
The tzimtzum just restricts. It stops a reception of the light from the previous state. If you want to work beyond the tzimtzum, so your action has to be established and planned by the Osh. And then you must build the Osh. Osh is everything. What you have in the Rosh expands in the Guf.
So what's the difference between the two, between Masach and Rosh? Because both of them decide what's going to happen inside the...
No, the Masach isn't decisions. Masach is an action. It's a result of the created being wanting to resemble the Creator. Then it performs a Tzimtzum and wants to resemble to the Creator. It performs actions of the Tzimtzum and bestowing. And the fact that it bestows according to the upper light that gives them forces and mind and everything, so then it can build its Rosh. The fact that a child looks at an adult and tries to build his actions like the adult, by that he builds his Rosh. Yeah.
You said that the desire always precedes the thought. But we know that our work is to invite the thought and influence the desire. Can we do that?
The thought is always born from the desire. Simple. There is no such thing that a thought will come before the desire. I want, and as a result, I want to realize that desire, then the thought comes. Thought without a desire doesn't exist. It's a demon, I don't know how to say it. A ghost. A thought without a desire.
But if I connect to the friend's desire...
So the desire still came first.
So there is an ability to ask, and I'm not waiting to have a desire.
That's something else, but the desire came first. You can take a desire from him, you can be impressed by the desire, but there has to be a desire. That's it. First of all, I've created the inclination, a desire. From that develops the Rosh, the thought, what I do with it. Do I want to be in that desire like a beast or to overcome above the desire and use it in order to advance. That's already Adam, but the desire has to come first. And that is what we're concerned about. Okay? Where are we?
Item 64. The beginning of the making of the kli comes from itpashtut and istalkut, expansion and departure. Hence, every kli must precede these two forces. It is known that all the forces in the elyonim, upper ones, must be in their tachtonim, lower ones. Hence, since the beginning of the formation of the kli in malchut de yosher lines, which is per the rosh ak, is generated by the ishtpashtut of the or and its istalkut, the departure of the light and its expansion, from there onward, each kli must precede these two reasons, meaning the ishtpashtut of the or and its istalkut, the expansion of the light and its departure. There is no other kli in the olamot beside them. Again, item 64. The beginning of the making of the kli comes from itpashtut and istalkut, expansion and departure. Hence, every kli must precede these two forces. It is known that all the forces in the elyonim, upper ones, must be in their tachtonim, lower ones. Hence, since the beginning of the formation of the kli in Malchut de Yosher lines, which is the Pe Rosh Ak, is generated by the Hitpashtut or and its Istalkut, the expansion of the light and its departure, from there onward, each kli must precede these two reasons, meaning the Hitpashtut of the or and its Istalkut, expansion and departure of the light. There is no other kli in the Olamot beside them. Item 65. The substance of the kli is the aviut, coarseness, and the tzura, form, is the masach. Now we have thoroughly explained how the fundamental substance of the tzura, form, and the kli are the aviut, coarseness, the bechina daled, the substance, and the masach erected in her is the tzura. From these two, every kind of kelim concatenated in general and in particular in all four olamot abiyah. Again, item 65. The substance of the kli is the aviut, coarseness, and the tzura, form, is the masach. Now we have thoroughly explained how the fundamental substance and the tzura of the kli are the aviut, the bechina daled, the substance, and the masach erected in her, the tzura. From these two, every kind of kelim concatenated in general and in particular in all four olamot abiya.
Shilat?
Questions?
Aima akli ne'ene
mizeh. The kli, does it enjoy bestowing or wanting to bestow?
Depends on the kli. How do you ask? This exists and that exists.
Malchut wants to resemble Keter, the emanator.
Yeah.
While she wants to resemble him, does she enjoy?
There is pleasure in that too, yeah, but it's not actual pleasure yet. By this, she is not giving joy to the host, to the emanator. You need to perform an action in order to be sure and show everyone that your intentions were for bestowing, the intention itself to bestow. If you don't do it, it's not counted as an action, because how do you know that it's your true inner intention and not imagination? That's why until a person didn't reach a state that he is the bestower in practice, we don't even say that he had that intention. Okay, let's keep going.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, but before we do, let's sing a song together.
יש עוד אהבה בעולם גם אם השתכחה גם אם הסתתרה גם אם טרם גילית את סודה, יש עוד אהבה בעולם. גם אם השתכחה, גם אם הסתתרה, גם אם טרם גילית את סודה, היא השיר של החיים, היא האור של השירים. קבל אותה אל תרתה, רק לך היא נועדה. יש עוד אהבה בעולם, אותה עוד יגלו כולם. רק לפתוח צוהר חם, היא כבר תמצא לה את דרכה לשם. היא השיר של החיים, היא האור של השירים. קבל אותה אל תרתה, רק לך היא נועדה. Thank you.